This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Annette and I are separate this week, but we've got, of course, a great, rich, important episode for you like we always do, but we're going to start off by highlighting one of you, our listeners, and your amazing spaces. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
All right, our STR share Sunday today is at McJoppa the Hut. Let me spell this out for you. It's at mcjoppa.the.hut. So again, at McJoppa the Hut. Hats off to Star Wars in a way. but it's hosted by Chrissy and Rich, and it's in Ely, Minnesota. And they're hosting some amazing stays right now. Sarah, you want to give some shout outs here?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that stuck out to us, Annette, is of course they're in Minnesota. And so Minnesota gets some very wintry winters. And they point out all the amazing amenities and or services they offer so that you can be rest assured that your stay will be safe and also enjoyable. So what are some of those snow things, Annette? I know you had those kind of clubs.
Yes, I love this. They have specific winter amenities and it's garage parking, a snow removal service, in-floor heat mats, heated mattress pads, a gas fireplace, sleds, snowshoes, board games. They even highlight hot chocolate. I just really like that they went through those line by line, especially if you're not from a cold weather place. That really, really helps you. So I love that they highlight that. They also highlight the summer amenities, and they are in a huge fishing lake, and they just kind of say, hey, that's spring and summer. Those are the highlights. Don't expect to come here in the winter and enjoy that. Also, and they're just crushing it here with all their information.
And if you're out there shopping for a place to stay in Ely, Minnesota, and McJoppa is one of them, you're going to say, oh, well, they highlighted the fact that they will, you know, there's in garage parking, there's all these things that I didn't think of as a potential guest. But now that I'm thinking about it, and you're the only one offering it. So, Absolutely. Yeah, listeners, we have a hashtag. It's STR Share Sunday. We are always prowling new users of that hashtag on Instagram. So if you want to be featured on our podcast and on our Instagram account, use the hashtag when you're showing off your short-term rental and we will share you.
I saw one thing I have to tell them though, really quick.
Yes.
They actually highlighted the Wi-Fi speed, which we do encourage, and also the exact size of their television. I think that's great. Let people know. Let them know.
What's the size?
50 inches. Like I talk about my TV if it was 50 inches. So that's why they're putting it out there. Yeah. All right, Sarah. Drum roll. Who is our guest today?
All right. We're welcoming back. Thanks for Visiting's official safety captain, Justin Ford, who's the Director of Safety and Certification Programs at Breezeway. Justin is a repeat guest of ours and will continue to be, hopefully, because he is bringing safety to the forefront of short-term rentals. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back on here again.
Hey,
we are so excited. Yeah. What? Okay, listeners, you kind of know when Justin comes on that he is going to give you a wake-up call. And it's important for us to do this. And we do this on purpose periodically throughout the year because we can get so taken up by how are we going to get guests and like, what fancy rug are we going to throw down and all the things, right? Like that the short-term rentals can require of us. But safety needs to be the top thing because guests are assuming the place is safe, right, Justin?
They are. It's really important that a host lives up to an expectation that the renters have. For hundreds of years, people have gone and stayed in a hotel or an inn and they pay money. And I mean, you guys have unfortunately stayed in a hotel or an inn. They're not nearly as nice as staying in an Airbnb. But when you do, what do you see? You see the emergency exit signs. You see out in the hallways, fire extinguishers, all that. People have been basically bred to believe that when they're paying for accommodations, they're getting a safe experience. And we need to live up to that with the short-term rental industry.
Unfortunately, in 2020, there were some incidents. We're going to go over them. They're all preventable, Justin. So you were going to share the eye-opening incidents that happened and kind of give us all our dose of wake-up call. But then you're going to tell us how they could have prevented these. So maybe our listeners can think about their short-term rentals and how they can see what they can prevent here in 2021.
Yeah, you know, 2020 was tough, but I wish I could tell you it's different than years past. It isn't when it comes to safety. And that's really where the big problem is. You know, so the biggest topics the media kept talking about this year, and we all know 2020 was a disaster. Forget any of the safety accidents. But the biggest things that they talked about related to safety and short-term rentals was all the partying and all the shots. I mean, we know every single weekend someone died in an Airbnb from being shot at a party. And then, of course, the other one was COVID and cleaning standards. And you know, this was really frustrating for me because of the message that we're trying to get out there around safety. I kept seeing articles all the time, especially as COVID regulations started to open rentals back up this summer. They were always, you know, vacation rentals, they're a safe bet for 2020, or is Airbnb a safe place to stay this summer? And the focus or the replies were always yes. But then when you looked, it was always focuses around cleaning. And the three of us talked about this back in April when we talked about safety and COVID and cleaning, but safety is not cleaning. That's health. And I just want to go on record again as saying COVID and safety are not in the same category. They're not. That's a health issue. And that was addressed. And so really what I want to get back to was I want to answer those questions. Are vacation rentals, you know, a safe bet, or is Airbnb safe? And these are, again, just headlines. I know that, you know, we talk about short-term rentals. So let me answer that question. Yes, the majority are, but unfortunately, and listen to this word that I use, there are still several hundred thousand, I guess it's two words, 100,000 by estimates that have something set up right now that is not safe, that's going to lead to a guest injury or even worse, death in short-term rentals. And so, yeah, short-term rentals still are the most dangerous segment of the travel industry. More people died this year or were injured this year in a short-term rental, not because of parties, not because of COVID, than they were in the entire last decade on commercial airlines, cruise ships, and hotels, motels, bed and breakfasts. Short-term rentals took the cake again. And that's not a prize we want to win.
Right.
Okay, so let's dig into it. Let's dig into what we can do and share with our audience some stuff that they can take a peek at today in their rentals and see if they are on the up and up or if there's some work that we all need to do. So let's start to dig into specifics.
Yeah. Share some of the five. We might even, listeners, at the end of the five, you know, kind of highlight a few others that Justin wants to make sure you're aware of. But these five incidents, Justin.
Yeah, so there were well over 2,800 incidents and media reports this year of deaths or accidents at short-term rentals. I know there's much more than that because I get called daily now from people going, oh my gosh, this accident just happened to us. And so much doesn't even come into the media. So it was hard to pick out some of them, but I wanted to pick out some that really highlight preventable things that are more common that we need to address. But the bottom line is, and I talk about this every time I meet with you guys, I just want to remind everybody, this is not to scare you out of being a short-term rental host. It's scary to be an auto mechanic. It's scary to be a doctor. It's scary to be a ski lift operator. Every job has its risks. And what we're going over here is how to manage those risks so that you can make sure that these type of things don't happen to you. And I'm not telling you to sterilize and turn your short-term rental into a white box with seatbelts. We're just talking about using some common sense to address things that maybe you hadn't thought about. So let's get started. January 30th. This was a big incident that happened. It got quickly covered up because of COVID. 10 adults, 15 children hospitalized in a carbon monoxide leak in Donnelly, Idaho. A lot of things came out of this one that I'm not happy about. The biggest one was that it showed up in the media right away that the county where this is, Valley County, Idaho, are now, the officials there are now working on new regulations for short-term rentals. And I think people need to remember that you represent the whole industry when an incident happens at your property. Just something you may do suddenly is now going to wake everybody up and go, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so in this incident, there's several different things that happened that were so preventable. First and foremost, this rental property was a 5-bedroom house. It was advertised to sleep 10 people. Let's remember the headline, 25 people hospitalized. What are 25 people doing at a 5-bedroom house? And so we've talked about this many times before, beds and heads. I know Annette gets really excited when we say the word beds and heads.
Right.
There's too many people there.
Mm-hmm. Way too many.
Way too many. Second issue. All right, there's a bunch of people there. Well, they all came down with CO poisoning because there were no CO alarms in the house. And that's just a given. If you manage a short-term rental, if you are a host, I don't care if you don't have anything that burns carbon fuels, you need to have carbon monoxide detectors in your rental property. If you're on the 20th floor of a condo in Florida and it's electric heat and there's nothing in there that you think needs a CO alarm, you're wrong. You need one. And we just saw that in Philadelphia, actually, 2 weeks ago, where a CO alarm actually acted as the smoke alarm. And they will. They'll detect smoke as well. So there's no reason or excuse not to have them. And they need to be tested regularly. So, okay.
And Justin, you like them when they're separate from the smoke detectors, correct?
I do. They should be mounted about 5 to 7 feet off the floor. Remember, carbon monoxide is a deadly gas that weighs about the same amount of air. And that's why it's so deadly. It can't be seen, smelled, or heard. It's just there, and it's not like heat, like it rises up to the ceiling. It's just in that room. And so it's very important that they're separated. They're not part of a combination smoke alarm seal. That's just meeting the minimum to have that on the ceiling. It's going to detect it eventually, but maybe not in time.
What's the guidance on how many CO detectors per, like if I have a 1,200 square foot home versus a 4,500 square foot residents, how many should there be? And can you give us some placement guidance?
Yeah, they belong in every bedroom.
Oh, okay. Really?
Every bedroom needs to have it. That's where people are going to be sleeping and never wake up again. So
okay.
They belong in every bedroom and they should be in the hallway outside of every bedroom. I like to see them in a living room area, especially in some regulations do require that, a lot don't, but I like to see them anywhere where there's a gas or producing appliance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a hot water heater that's gas or natural gas powered that's in the basement of the rental, you should have one somewhere within about 20 feet of it. Not too close to it, but about 20 feet away from it. It's going to help detect that. And the digital readout ones are the best. And if you have propane or natural gas, I love the combination explosive gas ones because then they'll detect if there's a gas leak as well.
Okay. And I don't know if you have one, but can you give us two other suggestions, like what's the average price of a detector? And do you have a favorite brand? Or is it just like, hey, if we go to Lowe's or Home Depot, we can feel pretty rest assured that what they have on the shelf is good
to
go?
Yeah. You know, you may have heard me say before, the big box stores have tons of products. They don't have the best products. Unfortunately, Home Depot and Lowe's, I never see the best ones there.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you should go to Amazon because I go to True Value Hardware, smaller hardware stores, and I usually see the better brands there. I don't know why that is. but that's where I've seen them. But the first alert, explosive gas and carbon monoxide alarm, it has that digital readout. It says evacuate on it. If it goes off, it shows the levels. The really nice thing about those type of carbon monoxide alarms is they also have a memory in them. So if you're all out shopping and you come back to your short-term rental and there's been a carbon monoxide incident that happened 2 hours ago, there's a memory in there that's going to let you know, hey, welcome back, but you got a problem here versus it's still going off from before. I don't see those, unfortunately, at the big box stores. And so you got to be smart about where you find those.
Okay. Is there anything else, though, before just having the detectors in our home that we could get to the problem before it even becomes an issue with the carbon monoxide? Is there preventative maintenance that we need to do yearly or anything like that to even get to the detectors?
So that's a great question that brings up the other point that I want to talk about, this incident that happened in Donnelly. When I heard about this incident from an inside scoop, I actually have a friend who heard the fire call in Donnelly because he lives in Donnelly and immediately let me know. So I was able to dig in fast on this before some of this stuff was quickly pulled offline so people didn't know. And the one thing I caught right away was a guest review. And the guest review that was published online had not been responded to by the host. And it specifically said, hey, you might want to check out your fireplace or something wrong here. So that highlights how important it is to look at guest reviews.
Wow.
Should the guest the week before called and said, hey, we think there's something wrong with the gas fireplace here, you might want to get it serviced? Absolutely. But they didn't. They chose to put it in the review. And it was there in black and white that there was something wrong. The poor guest that came in probably never read that review because it had just been posted.
Right. And they booked before they even, that review was even there. Wow.
Exactly. So,
well, Justin, takes me back to, so listeners, we had Justin actually come out to one of our vacation rental properties to do a thorough inspection, safety inspection. And I loved how you put it to the owner too, Justin, how you're like, have your guests help you protect your property. Now, we're not relying on our guests to do it, correct? But this is just an additional layer. So these guests were trying to help these owners, and the owners just chose not to stay on top of what was going on in their rental.
Exactly. It's so guest reviews, getting the guests involved, having the guests speak up, is something not safe here? Let us know. Would have definitely probably helped prevent that issue as well.
Okay.
I know I don't want to spend, 30 minutes necessarily on each of these stories, but you mentioned, why were there 25 people? And I think some listeners might go right to, well, how am I supposed to know? So answer that for them, Justin.
You got to put a strong message out in the front that exceeding occupancy at our rental will result in immediate eviction. Scare them into that our property is for 6 people. If we find out you've got more than 6 there, you will see immediate eviction. You want to put them in a position where they have to check with you. And I wasn't always a safety guy. I was a property manager, as we've talked about in previous shows. I never had occupancy problems because I actually put it in for those that want to use a rental agreement. We put it in there. They had to sign that this is how many people were coming. And that kind of put people in that fear position that, they'd call, our 3-year-old's coming too. We've decided he's not staying back with grandma. That's going to put us at 5 instead of 4. Is that okay? But that's the kind of the position you put the renters in.
Yes. I love that. Okay. So let's move on to the next preventable incident.
So June 18th, this was a big one. This grabbed headlines all over the central part of the country, got into USA Today, and it was a fire that destroyed a Lake of the Ozarks rental complex. Millions of dollars of damage. In this particular complex, there were only 3 people in their rental at the time, and one family was staying up in a property they'd rented through Vrbo. And the hose came off of the lit grill and basically became a flamethrower. And they didn't know what to do. They hardly ever used the grill. And so it ended up burning this entire condo complex and all the rentals down. No one was injured. It was a major damage thing. But what's interesting is to note is what the Missouri fire marshal said about that event. And he warned people to properly inspect your gas grills every year. He actually said you'd take your car to the shop to make sure the oil is good before a summer trip. You need to do the same thing with a grill to make sure it's ready. And so, yeah, We do. We have a lot of things that we need to check. I go further back on this incident and go, what the heck was a gas grill doing on the third floor of an apartment or condo complex? I'm surprised Missouri hasn't gone that far with this incident. And there really hasn't been any talk about that yet, because in so many places in the country, it's actually Massachusetts state law. You can't have a grill up on a deck, but so many, Chicago, Nashville, there's all these different cities that have said, no way can you have a grill up on an elevated porch or deck. And here at the Lake Ozarks, where there's thousands and thousands of these short-term rentals, you've got a grill under a roof that's fired by propane. So that's the big lesson there. But of course, the other one is, could a fire extinguisher have prevented this? There was none that was there. Could having an inspection done of this grill prevented it? Absolutely. It was the beginning of the summer season. So a lot of different opportunities on that one.
I want to just have our listeners also know, when Justin was doing that inspection for us, there were some issues with a grill because there was an opportunity at this particular property for the guest to move the grill underneath into an enclosed space. So our situation was like, hey, what if it's raining and they're in the middle of making steaks? Like, they're just going to roll this grill underneath the deck. And so Justin gave us an amazing idea of, if you have something, if your grill is mobile and there it could be moved into a very a dangerous spot, you can place it to where it's not mobile. Justin, I think you had recommended a chain with like a lock that it has to stay there. So I would recommend to our guests, you know, if you have somewhere they can roll it underneath a roof or closer to the house, I would make it so they can't, it's not mobile for them. So you know exactly where it's going to stay while the guest is staying there.
Exactly. 9 feet of overhead clearance is what's required. I had a video recently, and I don't know if you guys saw it. I shared it on social media. I'm sure we can get it so you can share that with the listeners. I took an 85% lean burger out on a propane gas grill, and I just was squeezing the grease off of it, and I could make the flame actually climb up 9 feet just off of a simple burger. And people need to understand that that's how easily and quick that type of stuff can happen. And keeping the grills clean, keeping the grease down, making sure using good quality grills, you know, I probably should get some payback for this, but Weber grills, I think Weber are the type that should be, they, at least from a manufacturing point of view, the ones that we see at the short-term rentals, they make the nice grease trays. It's so easy to get the disposable aluminum foil grease trays for them at any hardware store. So the cleaners just swap them out every week. They catch the grease. And if they rust out a bit, it's so easy to get parts for them. That's not what you see with the brand you've never heard before that's stacked up 100 deep in front of Lowe's or Home Depot that looks beautiful, but it requires universal parts and doesn't have the right stuff to replace it.
Yeah. All right. Next incident, Justin.
Let's talk about deck collapses. There were several this past summer. It's ridiculous. It keeps happening. And a lot of people were hospitalized. In fact, more people were hospitalized just like last year and the year before on Memorial Day weekend for injuries at short-term rental deck collapses and stair collapses on Memorial Day weekend than all the mass shootings combined up until that point in this country. And yet that's what we were talking about. So it's crazy. The big one was on July 10th. This one happened in Virginia Beach. It sent 5 people to the hospital, 2 with serious head injuries. And the thing about that one that really frustrates me is you can see clearly in the photos, not only on the listing on the website where the property is advertised, but also in the after photos, that the deck pulled away from the ledger board. Now, the ledger board, for those of you who don't know, is that big, nice piece of pressure-treated wood that's attached to the side of the house. Real quick, so I'm going to make all of you a deck inspector right now, if I haven't before. They need to be attached with half-inch lag bolts and screws, and that's how they're attached to the building. And then there's joist hangers that hold the joists that go out. And those are the little metal bands, usually galvanized, that go underneath it. And when you look in the photos, there were no joist hangers. It was toenailed in. And when you put that type of weight load on a deck, it wants to do something. It wants to go sideways, frontwards, backwards. But having too many people on a deck will cause that deck to collapse. And that's what happened in this case. It had too many people on it, and it simply pulled away from the house, and it became a slide, and everyone slid backward onto each other. They're over 20 feet in the air. It's crazy that that keeps happening.
I don't even think I've shared this with either of you. I actually was at a winery when the concrete terrace collapsed and it injured 75 people and one person died. I'm actually getting choked up thinking about it. We were at Put-in Bay. So we were on an island. We had been boated over. It was traumatic. Everyone had to be life flighted. Like we were stuck on the island almost the whole entire day. But it was something, I mean, we were there. We were at the winery. We were trusting that it was a safe place. And it was a concrete terrace. But yes, it collapsed. There were too many people in one area and it went down. It was terrible. And so I've actually lived that whole collapse incident was, I mean, it was national news while we were there. Like, you know, all of our families knew we were hanging out there. So where can they go to get their deck inspected though, Justin? Like who can we reach out to? Because those things that you just said, I was taking notes. I don't even know what those are. So I don't trust myself to go out to the deck and look at those things. So who do we call and ask to do a deck inspection? Because again, I know we did a deck inspection when you were with us. Like we trust that when we had that built by the, you know, the construction company that they knew what they were doing. So who do we call in to have a secondary look at that? How would we go about finding that person?
So there's three levels of doing a deck inspection. The first and foremost is without getting any professional involved, plug for YouTube, just go on YouTube and look at, there's all kinds of videos out there on deck construction, deck collapsing. If you have a deck that's elevated at your rental property more than 30 inches above the ground, you owe it to know how that was built and how it can hold weight. Just take 15 minutes and do an educational video, and maybe we can put some link onto some that I know of that are out there.
Okay.
So you just need to know that. Then you need to have your home inspected every 5 years by a home inspector. Most people only do a residential home inspection when they buy the home. They look at home inspections as something to negotiate with the seller, you know,
right,
to go back and say, hey, we did the home inspection.
Right, how to get some remedy cash. They look at it as like, we got to get some remedy cash here.
Boy, you know, this needs a new electrical panel. That's $1,000. Let's tell them it's $2,000 and get that knocked off.
Right. Price. They don't have to take care of it. And then that's money in our bank. Yep.
But you need to do them every 5 years at a short-term rental because you're hosting people who are paying to be in this home. And you owe it to them not just to know when your roof shingles might be starting to leak, but again, electrical, decks, stairs, lighting, all that type of stuff. So it's very important to have that done. And then annually, you need to have a safety inspection done and you need to go look at your deck and you need to know from the information that you've gotten there. And that may be having a contractor just come over. Maybe when you have a contractor there for something else, hey, can you take a look underneath my deck?
But if there are some issues, I should be able to see them just by sight sometimes, right? Okay.
Bowing posts, screws that are
loose,
popping up,
right?
Out. Yeah, like
okay.
Nails. This is
nails.
The big
one. Oh. No, nails shouldn't even be in there, right, Justin?
Nails should not be the part of any deck construction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ever. I mean, there's no excuse for nails in deck construction anymore.
Okay.
They've got special screws that hold them down now so they don't pop up. If you're seeing nails still in your deck construction, it's time to get somebody in there, a contractor in there and do some work. And especially underneath. If you're underneath the deck, you should never see a nail as part of any of the construction for the beams and the supports and everything that holds it together.
Okay. Awesome.
And unfortunately, those continue to happen. And I don't mean to pick on your listeners in North Carolina, but North Carolina, wake up. That's where most of them are still happening. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some strict regulations if people don't get this under control. That's where the majority of the deck collapses happened this year.
And I just have a question. So, and that should also, like, how would you know, Justin, the occupancy of your deck? Like, how would I calculate that? Because let's say I have 15 people that are able to stay, but can 15, 20 people with tables, chairs, all the things actually, how do I get how many people can be on the deck at a time? Because I want to make sure that what I say can sleep there can actually all stand on the deck and hang out together too.
A well-built deck should be able to hold any load. You
okay.
know, I don't 100% quote me, but there's some sort of formula that comes down to 200 pounds per square inch is a normal deck load. It's something around that amount. And any contractor looking at it will know what that is.
Okay.
I had a crazy inspection I did 2 years ago where I went to a rental property to inspect it. And I just jumped on the deck for a second. The whole deck shifted away from the house. And the hosts were there with me with the insurance company. They freaked out because they were about to have 17 bridesmaids come into that the next day. And that deck was 13 feet up. That. And they got mad at me at first. They're like, why'd you do that? I'm like, guys, I'm 6'5". I weigh about 230 pounds. But trust me, I didn't just break your deck by jumping on it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Get into a little bit more, unfortunately, on the sad side. But we've had a lot of drownings this year and a lot of different angles. One that particularly gripped me was one that we just keep happening over and over. This was a three-year-old that died after being pulled out of a Glendale, Arizona Airbnb pool. And you know, this is why this type of incident is so frustrating. I'm going to kind of be on my soapbox a little bit on this one, because this is what happens after each of these pool drownings. And all of them are tragic. All of them are including mostly children under the age of 5. Drowning is still the number one cause of children under the age of 5 in the United States in an accident situation. And it's really frustrating because every one of the parents of these drowning victims suddenly become advocates after their child is drowned because they don't want it to happen to someone else. But then it happens again, and then we got more advocates. We're getting a lot of advocates now, but we're still not stopping the problem. This is how this three-year-old drowned. There were 12 people there, and no one was in charge of watching the pool. No one was in charge. Everyone was there, but it's that old who's on first, what's on second, Abbott and Costello thing. Nobody was in charge. And there's one group that's out there, and if you have a pool at your short-term rental and you're not aware of Levi's Legacy, levislegacy.com, you should be. And they actually provide for rentals based on a pool drowning incident that happened a couple of years ago in Florida, a badge, and it has a wrist bracelet on it. And if you are at this short-term rental and it's your turn to watch the kids in the pool, you have that badge on. That means you're not drinking margaritas. That means you're not on your cell phone texting. It means that right now it's your responsibility to watch out for every one of the kids that are in the pool while everyone else is having fun. It's kind of like the designated driver of the pool. It's a great website that has a lot of information, and you can make donations and they'll give you your own pass cards that you can have for your pool at your short-term rental. And it highlights a lot of why, you know, for example, we talk a lot about different insurance companies that are out there. Proper insurance doesn't allow pool toys to be provided at pools because pool toys hide kids in pools. Mm. Don't provide them at your short-term rental because then you can't see who's in there. The renters are going to bring them, they're going to bring them, but you shouldn't be the one that's providing.
Great tip.
The other drowning that I want to touch on just happened last month, and this touches on a topic that happened a lot this year too. This was about a kayaker who drowned actually up here in my home state of Maine. It's made national news because he was a Google engineer and, you know, all this type of stuff. But here's the bottom line. This guy showed up at his Airbnb with, I believe there was 12 other people at this rental. He hopped in a kayak. He had no experience using a kayak. He didn't have a life jacket on, and the water temperature was 47 degrees, and he went out on his own. So I've always said, stop providing kayaks, paddle boards, golf carts, bicycles at your short-term rental because you don't know what they're doing. We all know, it's common sense, that if you don't know what you're doing in a kayak, you don't belong in it. But if you were going to want to venture out and maybe you decide, hey, I want to do it. If this guy had gone down to a professional kayak rental place, they would have given him instructions. They would have told him how to wear a life jacket.
Right.
Instead, he showed up at this rental property and the owner of that rental property said, here, use our kayaks. It was an amenity. It might even be the reason he rented it. He might have said, this is a great idea.
Right.
But he didn't know what he was doing. And unfortunately, he's gone now. So lots of other drownings, but those are just two different ones that I wanted to highlight, you know, for 2020 that were totally preventable and that your listeners can do something about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we've got at least one more incident we need to touch on.
Let's talk about fire pits. Fire pits were also a big source of accidents.
And all the rage this year because everybody wants to be outside. It's a safe way to social distance and enjoy.
How do we do it safely?
So the one story highlights this one particular story, and there's a bunch of them, unfortunately, but this one particular story, July 15th, we had a toddler who fell into a fire pit in Virgis, Minnesota, and he's 20 months old and covered in over 30% of his body in burns. And a lot of these fires that we saw happen at short-term rentals fire pits were because the fire pits weren't properly extinguished. Mm-hmm. There was an incident where a toddler went out to the fire pit, was playing around. The parents were still unpacking the car. The toddler fell in. Well, the renters the night before hadn't properly extinguished the fire. And so the cleaner hadn't checked it. Nobody checked. Nobody thought to even think about it, that there were still hot coals in there. We've also seen where the kids are just, they're roasting marshmallows and they fall in. We've got to be aware that children can easily fall into a fire pit. And they're not a safe place for kids to be. They're not a safe place for kids to be left alone. So you need to make sure that you've got a good barrier around the fire pit. You've got to have good supervision. And then going back to what we did together, ladies, when we did the inspection of the fire pit at the rental you had, you got to have a big bucket down there with some water that shows the guests how to put it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, listeners, don't worry. There are plenty of things that I can still improve at all of our rentals. But one thing I'll pat ourselves on the back with is our property inspector. So after the cleaners are done, she goes by and it's on her checklist to make sure that bucket is full of water and to make sure it's properly extinguished from the guests before, right? So that is on our checklist and she has to check it off and provide a picture. We use BreezeWave for that and it just helps me sleep better at night.
So yeah, as I said, we just talked about just a few.
Right.
Just thousands and thousands of incidents that happened this year. And the one thing I want everyone to notice is every single one of those was preventable. That those weren't meteorites falling out of the sky that hit somebody sitting on the back deck at a short-term rental. They were all preventable issues. And all of them generally involve some just level of basic common sense to address it. I don't need to be here to preach to people how to do safety. It's just think about it.
Well, I think listeners too might say, well, a lot of these are happening when I'm not there and, you know, it's child supervision. But listeners, remind your guests that they need to supervise the children in their party. Mm-hmm. If you're collecting guest information and you see children on that list, maybe send them a different check-in instruction template that reminds them about watching the children around the pool, the hot tub, the fire pit. You know, you could do something as simple as that, helping your guests be better guests.
Right. Even with just giving them the idea, like I've never actually heard of that idea of basically having a designated driver, like have that designated parent that's their responsibility. Those couple of hours or whatnot. So Justin, really quick, we always want to let our listeners know though, there is a safety certification that you have put together that they could do on their own home today if they wanted to purchase that. Do you want to just talk real quick about what you've put together and how we can help them with that?
Yeah, about 7 or 8 years ago now, because of a safety incident that happened to me that we've talked about on previous episodes, I worked on developing something that just has never existed before. And that's a safety checklist for your short-term rental. I like to say that if you follow everything on this checklist, the only reason a runner is going to get hurt is because they tied their shoelaces together and tripped over themselves. So I've got a checklist that's available to you at BreezeWay, the company that I work for, where I'm the director of safety and certification programs. Mm-hmm. And you can use the promo code that I've set up for your listeners to get some half off of that. It's a bargain. And if you use proper insurance, you can get a discount on your insurance. It can save you a couple $100 a year by going through this safety certification. It's an app on your phone. It walks you through, tells you what you need to fix, what you need to address, and make it so that let's just step outside of people getting hurt and injured for a little while. This keeps you out of court. And we did a survey this year, over 35% of professional managers in the short-term rental industry right now are in some sort of litigation or involved in some sort of court case around a safety incident that happened. So above and beyond everything else, make your property safe so you stay out of court and keep your renters from getting hurt or dying.
Yeah. And listeners, that our code, which is TFE50, it gives you 50% off. Justin's been very kind to give us that. And starts at $67. So with our discount, it's only $37.50. And I think you owe it to yourself, your business, and your future guests to make that very small investment. So Justin, it was great to have you on again. You always give us that dose of safety that we need, but really cannot wait to have you on more episodes this year. And listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, Justin has been a guest on several other of our shows that he had our number one show of 2020. So make sure to go back. We'll link those in our show notes. But Justin, we can't thank you enough.
Dustin, if guests want to, if listeners want to reach out to you, how can they do that? If they want to learn more about how to make their place safer and get you involved, how would they do that?
Yep. You can reach me at safety@breezeway.io. I also have a website that links to a ton of different stuff. That's just justinford.expert. And that has links to everything that I do with Breezeway, safety in the news, all the different things that come. It kind of links to the three words that I live by and that I recommend and will close out for all of your listeners. And that is complacency is devastating.
Thank you. All right, listeners, how about that?
I know, mic drop there.
Let's all sit in that uncomfortableness and do something about it. Justin, thanks so much for your time. Listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.